We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
We know this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life. Founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other will both get value from the episode.
Hello, I am solo today. Rob is still in Las Vegas for the starter edition of MicroConf. I have been with him over the weekend and for the first day of growth. So I have a little bit of a raspy voice from talking over music and loud casinos. I love going to MicroConf. It is such a treat to interact with so many founders and entrepreneurs. And it's really a delight for me as Rob's wife to see this community that he and Mike have cultivated over the last 10 years or so. And this was MicroConf number 14 and 15. So this is now quite a mature brand. There are two numbers because there's the growth conference, which is oriented towards folks who are making a full-time living off of their business and then are, you know, focused on growth and expanding. And then there's a starter conference, which is focused on founders who are just at the beginning phases, maybe have an idea or their business is a side business, but not yet something that supports them. So Rob and Mike, I think, have done an amazing job of cultivating this community that over time has really shared a lot of valuable knowledge, tactics, lots of deals have been done. People have bought and sold businesses over MicroConf dinners and MicroConf conversations. And my perception is that it is a really supportive, positive place to be and place to have relationships. I did have an interesting experience in MicroConf this year. Because I've been doing so much public speaking, talking at so many conferences, and been doing quite a lot in public, I've had a few people over the past few months say really critical things to me, either in person or online. You know, things like they didn't like my slides in a presentation. And critical feedback is like part of doing work in public. That is part of the job of being a podcaster, of being a speaker, of writing a book. Like, I know that once I put myself and my ideas out there, then obviously I'm going to be vulnerable to, well, obviously not everyone is going to like it. And that's got to be okay. I have to have the strength to tolerate that. So I know that. I'm comfortable with that. But what struck me seeing these folks in person at MicroConf was the realization that the interactions that I'd had with them were quite hurtful to me and made me feel very mistrustful and cautious about them. But then when I saw them, I realized, I don't think this is like a jerk of a person. I don't think this is a bad person. I think this is someone who gave feedback in a way that was really thoughtless. And so therefore, they got encoded in my brain as is kind of a bad guy or someone who I don't wish to be around, kind of a professional frenemy or something like that. Like, we're in the same network, we're in the same circles, we interact with each other, but I felt like maybe I don't like this person. But being in the room, it made me feel like maybe the feedback delivery was the problem, not the actual human involved. And this has been a big issue this year for our family. Many of you who are Drip customers know that Drip had a redesign earlier this year. And it wasn't really something that Rob was directly involved with, but a lot of people didn't like it. And a lot of people spoke out with quite a lot of vitriol and anger, really directed at sometimes at Rob in a way that felt very uncomfortable and very like not fair. I guess this larger theme for our family this year and then this recent experience at MicroConf has led me to today's conversation, which is really like how not to give feedback like an asshole. It's so easy to thoughtlessly express a thought, especially online, that causes more hurt and damage than you realize. And I think it's helpful for all of us who are in the founder community or just maybe the community in general to be really mindful of the way that we're expressing our discontent with other founders, with other businesses that we are customers of, or with other people who we are, you know, taking some issue with their work or the way that their work is done. So I have a couple of questions that I think it's helpful to ask yourself before you give particularly negative feedback, and especially in public. But so I think a first question before you send that tweet or email is to stop and check in and ask, are you angry? Because when we express ourselves in the midst of anger, the chances of something coming across wrong, or the chances of you coming across as kind of an angry, vitriolic person are increased. So much better to recognize when you're angry, pause, take a moment, and either give yourself like a little time out to calm down, write yourself a note to come back to it in a couple hours. Because anger is a really valuable and important emotion, but it's one that makes communication quite complicated. And it's almost never a good instance in which to put something in writing that can't really be erased or taken back or taken away. So before you flame someone or criticize someone's business, make sure you are doing it in a pretty neutral emotional state so that you can think clearly about how your feedback will be received and make sure that you are articulating your true opinion in the best possible way. Another thing to ask yourself before giving feedback online is just to do the check-in, ask, am I being respectful? If we take a moment to really acknowledge that whoever we are unhappy with, whatever business we're unhappy with, behind that business is a founder. Behind that founder is a team of people who make that company run. And I think it's completely okay to hold poor customer service to account or to express discontent about businesses that are not functioning up to their own standards. And it's okay to say, hey, I've called customer support 18 times and I haven't heard back from you, and now I'm taking to Twitter. Those are important steps in business accountability. However, there's always a human behind that business. And I would say that it's never very useful or helpful to approach that human in a disrespectful way. So before giving that feedback, realizing that someone has poured their time and energy and life's blood into this thing that you're unhappy with. So how do you talk to them about what you don't like in a way that still acknowledges their value as a human being and gives them the benefit of the doubt that they are doing everything that they can to put a good product or good business forward into the world? So first question, are you angry? Second, are you being respectful? Third, do you have trust? If you want to give someone feedback that you would really actually like for them to implement, I would say first you need to establish some sense of trust with them. You have to let them know that you've been a customer for 5 years. You have to let them know that you're a big fan of their work. You have to let them know that you're invested in the problem that they're trying to solve. People are much more likely to take your feedback very seriously and really listen to what you're offering if it's clear that you're actually invested in a positive outcome, or you're actually invested in their well-being as a person or the well-being of their business. So it's a great idea to add a few extra lines, a few extra points of connection to really establish some kind of trust and engagement. You'll be much more likely to be listened to. I was at this event recently when someone came up to me at the after party and said, you know, your talk was okay, but I really didn't like your slides. I think your slides could use some more work. That's fine feedback. People don't have to like my slides. I will say that the slides that I used in that talk were put together by a professional designer. So it might not have been up to that person's taste, but they were still slides that were well constructed. In any event, though, I didn't know who this person was. They didn't even take the time to tell me their name. They didn't introduce themselves. They didn't point out any shared connections they have. They didn't say anything that made me feel like they were at all invested in me. So they gave me this feedback, and really it was kind of hurtful and not useful because there's no trust. I had no relationship with them. They did nothing to kind of create a foundation of, hey, I think you have an important message. I want to help you be a better speaker. And man, if you start that way, I'm really happy to listen to feedback. But it was this failure to establish any kind of trust or human connection that really kind of made my ears close, or at least made me feel sort of somewhat suspicious of this person and their feedback. And I think that brings me to this fourth question. Do you have specific feedback that makes a business or a person better? And I guess this is sort of a kickback to like old school values that I remember my mom telling me, that, you know, the mom adage, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And when we're talking about feedback, we don't have to be nice. Nice is really not that useful. But maybe a better way to say it is, if you don't have something valuable to say, then don't say anything at all. If you can't add value, if you can't help someone get better. So this comment like, I don't like your slides, is really useless to me. There's no take home. There's nothing for me to implement. There's no step for me to improve. So if you see a business or a fellow founder who is doing something that could be greatly improved, taking the time to give feedback that's really going to be helpful. Like, hey, here's a suggestion for how to modify your onboarding strategy to make it less confusing. Or I was really frustrated with this customer support experience. Here's how it could have been a little bit better. Those of us who are entrepreneurs and who are operating in public and who are doing the best that we can to provide value to our customers, we're all in the midst of a struggle. And I feel like we can do so much better by each other to be helpful instead of rageful, to be a source of improvement and support rather than tearing each other down. So much of our electronic communication separates us from the humanity of each other. So when I was in the room with some folks at MicroConf who I know had said really kind of cruel, unkind things either to me or my husband, it was really hard for me. I knew in interacting with them that they hadn't really meant us ill, but they kind of forgot that we were human in their online communication. So keep the feedback coming. That's how all of us improve. Keep the ideas flowing. Thank you for taking time to comment on each other's work and to help other people run the best business that they can. But before you send that tweet or that email, take the time to ask, are you angry? Are you being respectful? Do you have trust? Do you have feedback that makes people better rather than tears them down? And if you have something pretty extensive to say, maybe it's time to pick up the phone or send a video email or some form of communication that's a little bit more emotionally attuned, and the tone of your words and your intention can be better interpreted by your listener. When you are in touch with your best intentions, I think that comes across well to other people. I've certainly received feedback that's made my business significantly better. So the take-home isn't to be quiet or stop giving feedback. The take-home is to be mindful about how to do it really well. Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.